Hey, Successors, before we get into the show today, I'd like to tell you about my new book, Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. If you're struggling to stay motivated or just need a little boost, check out the ways that I've stayed motivated over the last few years. Go ahead and go over to Amazon.com and grab yourself a copy. That's Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. Get it now. On with the show.
Success Media Network.
This is your show.
Good day, Successors. I'm Antonio Holman, and welcome to the Four Principles of Success, number 39, where I chat with successful people and entrepreneurs about how they enhance their businesses and lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Today, we're talking to Carl Gould. Carl is located in Riverdale, New Jersey, and is the owner of Seven Stage Advisors, a business growth expert, mentor, and entrepreneur who has built three multi-million dollar businesses by age 40, mentored the launch of over 5,000 businesses, and has trained and certified over 7,000 business coaches in 35 countries. Carl has written three best-selling books on business strategy and growth, Blueprint for Success, The Seven Stages of Small Business Success, and most recently, Biz Dev Done Right. Other than his previous mentioned successes, Carl regularly appears on the home improvement reality TV show, This House 2, and each week he co-hosts Quit or Get Rich on iHeartRadio. Carl, are you ready to help our listeners prepare for success?
Oh, born ready, my friend. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you for being here. So you're a very busy man, as we all have just learned, but we know nothing about your personal life. How about you give us a little clue into that?
Sure. So, I was born and raised in northern New Jersey, and you know, from a very large family, very entrepreneurial family, and so I find myself going to college for finance and accounting, and I broke my leg pretty badly and had to leave school, and so there was laying on the couch at home, broke, out of school, and I figured, like most people would logically think, Antonio, what a great time to start my first business. So I did. I started a landscaping company, and I had done that in my high school years. So I knew it. I knew how to make money at it. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to start this business. So I did. That business doubled every year for 5 years, and then I sold it in 1992. And then I started a construction company, residential home building, real estate development. And I grew that business and sold that business in 2004. But in the 1990, I went to a Tony Robbins seminar and just fell in love with the idea of personal development. Had a great time, really enjoyed it, and I wanted to get involved in coaching. I thought coaching was awesome. It's very rewarding to help people achieve their goals and their vision for themselves. So I was hooked. I really wanted to get into that. So all through the 90s, I was doing life coaching and results coaching for Tony Robbins, Ken Blanchard, Stephen Covey, Dale Carnegie principles, doing all sorts of performance and leadership and life coaching all through the 90s. In 1996, I hired a business mentor to show me how to grow my business. And, you know, I was in construction, so our mantra was to hang up the hammer. I wanted to hang up the hammer and started to, you know, run the business and not let it run me. But then after a while, I said, you know what? I'd love to take all of my coaching skill. I've been doing it for a decade now, and my entrepreneurial background. And even though I was 35 years old at the time, I've been an entrepreneur for 18 years. You know, I've been at it for a while. So I combined the two and I said, you know what? I'm going to launch the business I have today, Seven Stage Advisors. And not only am I going to work with businesses to show them how to grow their business, but I was really early on in the game of people who had the kind of coaching business that we call it today. So that's where the 7,000 other coaches came in, is I had written a number of methodologies. And so I started to train and accredit and certify and franchise coaches. And I've since helped over 7,000 people in 35 countries become or enhance their coaching business. So that brings me to today.
What do you do in your most mundane, everyday, for fun type of life? What do you do to relax?
All right. So on my planet, mundane, I don't know how to spell that word. But anyway, I think let's break it down. Mundane is the Latin for get up and have a blast or something. But my daily routine is, I learned a lot over the years. And, you know, one of the big lessons I learned was that there's very little competition for number one. You know, like if you, in any walk of life or business, there's very few people that are actually going for the gold. They want to participate. They might want to have fun or whatever. So I learned that lesson very early on. And so I wanted to set myself up for success because, you know, I carry around just as much baggage as anyone else does. You know, you'll never amount to anything. Who the hell do you think you are? You know, all that sort of thing that gets pounded into our skulls by our parents and our teachers. And, you know, they do a lot of good, but they also, you know, pollute a lot of stuff in there too. So I try to set myself up for success. So here's my morning routine. When I get up every morning, I have spoken all of my goals into an audio recorder. So I go into the bathroom, put the water on, and I play back a 9-minute rant on my goals. So my bucket list items, what am I trying to accomplish this year? All of my incantations and affirmations. And the thinking is I want to fill my cup up with positive thinking. And so that takes about 9 minutes. I know that because that's how long the recording is. So I take a shower, do my thing, and I'm listening to me read back my goals. So it's not taking me any extra time, and it's reminding me of all the things that I'm trying to accomplish that day. And then I make sure that I plan out my entire week in advance, so I know what's going to be happening each and every day, and I'm advancing the roles in my life that I like to. So that's how I kind of set myself up for the day. But a day in the life of what I do is, in 1996, when I was at a personal development seminar, you know, I created a life plan. And to that point, I had been in construction, in landscaping, you know, a very local community-based business. I was still, you know, I just turned 30. And, you know, I'd never really left. I'd forget leaving the country, but I'd never barely left the state of New Jersey. And I wrote one simple phrase that kind of has turned into where I'm at now. And I wrote, I want to be paid to play all around the world. Now, I had no idea where that came from. I had no idea how I came up with that. I had, you know, been to Jamaica once and Canada once, and it almost doesn't count as leaving the country because you didn't even need a passport to go to those places at the time. And but that was it. And I'm paid to play all around the world. I've never seen the world. And I don't get paid to play. I work my ass off. So I wasn't sure how I was going to do it, but I did construct a life plan, and it's led me to where I'm at now. So I do a lot of remote consulting. I do travel to about a dozen, 12 to 15 countries per year, and working with small to mid-market companies and entrepreneurs that are growth-minded, how to get to the next level. So a day in the life of me is I will work with anywhere from 5 to 10 entrepreneurs in a given day, be it in small groups or one-on-one, or if I'm working, you know, face-to-face with a client, some of that will be virtual, some of that will be video chat, some of it will be in person. And I also do a fair amount of public speaking. So I speak anywhere from 3 to 6 times per month, and I speak to entrepreneurs, CEOs, and you know, high potential and high performing teams from companies. So it's my week is a blend of, you know, keynote speaking, training, one-on-one or small group coaching, and consulting our clients. So I get that pay to play all around the world thing going on.
You are incredibly busy, and your preparation, your daily preparation is pretty hardcore. I really admire that. That's good. A lot of people lack focus, but you seem to have it locked down pretty good.
Oh, well, thank you. It's, you know what it was? It's just been, I found something that worked. I kept doing it. Then I stacked something else on top of it that worked, and I kept doing it. So that's been my formula. If it works, keep doing it. If it doesn't, find something else that does. Keep it really simple. You know, life is flying by so fast anyway. So, you know what? If it didn't work yesterday, it's all right. Tomorrow we'll work it out, and we'll make it work the next day, you know?
Yep. So what inspired you to even get into business growth hacking in the first place and creating Seven Sage Advisors?
Well, so one of the things I learned, like when I there I was, 18 years old. I thought I was going to go to college and get a certain degree, get a job and all that. And I broke my leg, and I was 3 months in a cast and 3 months, you know, with basically laying around, and gave me a lot of time to think. And during that time, what was interesting, so 3 months in traction, 3 months learning to use my leg again. And all of a sudden, all my student loans came due, you know, my grants went away, scholarships went away. And I started to realize, I said, you know what? No one's coming for me. No one's coming to help me. No one, not that people didn't help. I'm not suggesting that. But basically, if I was going to make it in life, I was going to have to go out and take it, right? I was going to have to go out and make it happen. And nobody was running and saying, hey, Carl, so sorry to hear about your leg. Let me put this amount of money in your bank account. You just take as long as you want to recover. And you let me know if you have any bills. I'll take care of them. That wasn't happening, right? And so when I started my business, I found that that was kind of my key. That was my get out of jail free card. That was my way to control my destiny, have the things that I wanted, and I can make what I wanted to happen for me happen, right? And now, as I got through my contracting business, I used to work with a lot of other business people. I used to work with a lot of other construction-based contractors. I'm building a home. I would work with 50 contractors. I'd do a large project. And so I was working with all these small businesses all the time anyway. And I was the general contractor. They were the subcontractor. But what I was seeing was that people were struggling to make their business a real success and it be sustainable. You know, like it'd be feast or famine. They'd have a good year, a bad year, a good year, a bad year. This would go wrong and all of a sudden they'd be back on their heels, or they got sick and they didn't have certain things in place. And so their medical bills put them behind the eight ball. And so that really started to bother me. And I just felt like I can make more impact. I can make more impact helping business owners because every business owner has employees and those families, and then they go out and serve clients. So I figured that if I help the businesses, I can help more people at the same time. One, business owner gets their dream and can control their destiny, and a business owner has a lot of a positive impact on a lot of people. They create jobs, they make their communities better, you know. A lot of people get to go to school and have pools in their backyard and drive nice cars because business owners are successful. And so I just felt, I just started to materialize as a pathway for me. And I realized I had some talent in that area and I could help people. And I started coaching people and their businesses were turning around. And so I said, you know what? I can keep doing the work I'm doing. I can build a house. I can renovate a property. I can build a commercial building. But you know what? Really, I'm making a lot more impact as an advisor. And so I was more drawn towards it. And it took a while. You know, once from the time I decided I was going to do it full time to the time I actually did it was about 5 years, because I wanted to prepare my current business for sale properly. But once I got involved in it, I found my passion and my calling, and I knew it was where I needed to be.
When a business owner feels they're doing well, their company's doing well, and they're thinking about growth, what do you feel are three important questions they need to ask themselves before moving forward?
So if they're in growth mode, that is, it doesn't seem like it in the very beginning, but it's when they can possibly be at the most susceptible. All right. And so if they're growing right now and they're having some success right now, first thing they should be asking themselves is, what can I systematize today so it can go on autopilot tomorrow? What can I systematize today so I can go on autopilot tomorrow? Okay. Number two, second thing. So if you think about it, I just nailed this great project. I sold it. You know, I got the right price. I got a good terms and conditions. Cool. So let's systematize that sales process. So not only you can do it, you can now teach somebody else to do it tomorrow. Right. As a CEO, you need to leave the wake of systems behind you. Right. You know, and then you can plug talent into those systems. That's number one. Number two is a percentage of every dollar that comes into your business has to be set aside for two things. One, profit. So profit first accounting. You know, there's a number of ways that you can manage your finances. One of them is have the money come in, pay all your bills, and then whatever's left you keep for yourself. But as we've all learned, every financial advisor teaches us this, is pay yourself first. So, you know, if a dollar comes in, set aside, you know, 3 to 7 cents of every dollar aside for a profit, and just put it in a totally separate account and segregate it. Second account you need is something we call the balance sheet builder. Okay. Now, Antonio, I had when I was doing research for one of my books, I sat down with a number of accountants. Okay. You're going to love this answer, right? Four principles of success. Here comes your fifth, right? So I sit down with these accountants and I said, tell me about all of your really rich clients. I said, you don't have to tell me their name, but just like, how did they become rich? What was their secret? What was their, like, you see behind the curtain, you're the best person to ask. Tell me what they did. Almost universal. This was the number one answer by far of all the answers I got. First off, most of the accountants, they looked at me and they're like, well, to be honest, I can't tell you. They were like the smartest people going. And I said, oh, okay. So how did they become rich? And they said, well, you know, they were good and diligent and persistent and ethical people who ran their businesses. But I got to tell you, they just set aside a little bit of money each year and, you know, eventually bought the building they worked in. And then, you know, the building across the street came up for sale and they bought that over time. And then, you know, they invested in a couple of insurance policies and then they invested into a business around the corner that they helped stabilize and grow. So, you know, when it was time for them to retire, they had $5, $10, $20 million or more dollars worth of assets. And, you know, they seemed awful smart at the end, but I got to tell you, they didn't, it was just, you know, they put a little bit aside each and every year and they built their asset base. And so most business owners, they think of their profit and loss statement, right? So I apologize for using too many accounting terms here, but basically they say, how much money can we make and how much can we minimize our expenses to make a profit? Well, you know, so obviously we want to maximize our profit. But the second thing you should do and do it immediately is set aside a little bit of money of everything that comes in, 1 to 3% for what we call balance sheet building. In other words, building assets. How do you buy either real estate, invest in other businesses, or put away money for like retirement programs or insurance policies, things that they're assets that will start to work for you after a period of time. So that's the second thing that they should be asking themselves is, you know, if you think about it, you and I, we're not working for today. You know, no matter what happens today, you're going to be able to eat your next meal. You've got what you need in your life already. When you go to work today, you're not working for today. You're working for some future time when you probably can't work. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you're fine today. And you know what? And if you lost your wallet and somebody took a bunch of money from you, you know what? You'd go to work tomorrow and you'd make that money back. So you're really working. Today you got up and you are working for some time in the future. So make sure that when you get up today and do what you love, but set yourself, your future self up, right, for success. Okay. And so, you know, and then the third thing that they should be thinking about is how can I share my talent with other people? Right. So in other words, how can I start to build talent around me. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you love to do. I would put myself in the category as a pretty energetic guy. Everybody gets tired. And every business falls in, every small business at some point falls into the trap of feast and famine, right? When you have all this energy, you're kicking ass, taking names, you know, lighting the world on fire. But at some point, you got to sleep. At some point, you got to take a vacation. And if you stop, if when you stop, that means the business stops. Well, guess what? Then if any of the listeners hear that and say, yeah, that's kind of me, immediately you have to start thinking about how can I build a team that can do parts or all of what I do? So, you know, when I stop or slow down or I move on to building another part of the business, the whole world doesn't come to a screeching halt.
I like that. I like that. You're giving some valuable information. I'm loving this. This is great. Okay, let's see. What do you feel is the most critical skill business owners can master in order to thrive today?
They got to know how to sell. You know, you get into business, for one of two reasons. Either you're a good persuader, you know, like you're very persuasive, right? You know how to connect with people. And as a result, you know how to communicate and connect. And so you'll build a following, you'll sell products to them. And then at some point you'll be selling enough where you say, you know what? I got to start bringing the fulfillment or some of the other systems in-house. And so you get into business because you're a great persuader or salespeople, and then you surround yourself with the fulfillment side of the business, what we call the back of the house. So you're a front of the house person, you fill in the back of the house. Or you're a back of the house person, meaning you're a great attorney or accountant or car or mechanic or contractor. You know, you're just really good at being a technician and an operator. And you're so good that your word of mouth referral base grows. But at some point, your sphere of influence runs out. You know, you only have so many friends and word of mouth will only get you so far. And at some point, you have to step out beyond your, you know, immediate sphere of influence, and you have to start finding, other people to help sell. So in other words, you're a back of the house person, and you now have to surround yourself with the front of the house, right? So, but in either case, if you're a business owner, you either have to sell your product to the customer base, or you have to sell your ideas to your employees. Either way, you got to have the skill of persuasion, influence. And one of the ways to get that is either through sales, right? Or through public speaking, or through learning how to be a coach. Any one of those three will give you the skill set where you can persuade people and get more done through others than you could just get done on your own.
That's the one key thing that I feel like a lot of business owners really are missing. They want to go into business because it's something they enjoy doing. But I've heard this time and time again. Sales is the most important skill that business owners need to know. Yeah,
it is. Yeah. I mean, look, what is there to do if nothing gets sold?
Right. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely.
Exactly. You want a day off? Don't sell anything. You got a day off.
Right.
You sell something, you've got a job tomorrow. I mean, it's just the way the world works. I mean, that's just it. And mm-hmm. and so you got to recognize that if you're in business, you're in the marketing, selling and marketing business, no matter what your product or your widget or your service is, you're in the sales and marketing business.
What do you feel was the one thing that was the hardest for you to overcome in your business, but you've since conquered?
You know, and I don't know if I've conquered it, but I got into business more in the beginning because I was the back of the house guy. I worked for somebody else in landscaping, and I was like the even though I was just a teenager and in high school, you know, I became like the job super. I was the lieutenant, and so I've always gravitated towards businesses where I had a skill set there. So I've gotten better at letting go of having to be the one who does the work. And to do that, I've gone out of my way to find people that have better qualifications or higher qualifications than I have in every walk of life. And so otherwise, I know me. I will be drawn back to doing the work, you know, because I'll say, oh, geez, I could do that better than that person. You know, let me just do it. Whereas if someone's got an MBA, PhD, or has been a rock star in that area, you know, it removes the temptation for me to go back in and try it. And I'll say, what am I thinking? The person's a, you know, they're the best in that area. I'll just screw it up if I get involved. So it almost takes the temptation away for me to get involved in it. But that was the big thing for me, is letting go of having to be the subject matter expert and allowing my team to really shine.
What was your most challenging client-related situation, and how'd you resolve it?
Most challenging client-related? That's a good question. So the challenge comes in a lot of ways. The most challenging client situation that we will come into is when the client resists accountability, right? And so, so the way that we do that is we go to the client and we say, all right, listen, how do you like your accountability? It's like, how do you like your steak? You like it medium rare? You like it well done? You know, and in the beginning, I won an award in the 90s as a coach because I was a real hard ass when it came to accountability. And there was a high, very high profile. I'm not going to say the name because you'd all recognize it, but there's a very high profile executive that I was working with that had gone through like five different coaches. And then I got him as a client. And, you know, first thing he said was, well, you know, you coaches, I go through them left and right. And I was able to help this person, but I was known as a very hard ass for accountability. And what I've learned is I've learned to serve it in different ways now. So some people like a pat on the back. Some people like to be cheer led. Some people like to be, you stick to the positive, and some people like to get their butt whipped, you know? Mm-hmm. But I only had one way to do it in the beginning. So I had to learn that there are different ways to motivate people, and not everybody gets motivated the same way. You know, cause as a coach, really, it's a very intimate relationship, meaning the client will open up to you and really share a lot with you. But at the same time, that relationship, if it doesn't have accountability, is doomed, right? So as a coach, my number one task among everything is to get you to take action and hold you accountable. So I had to master that skill, and I didn't. And I and my team, we didn't have it fully in the beginning. But now we're much more well-rounded in how we deliver accountability.
What do you feel is your one biggest business triumph to date?
Well, I'm proud of the fact that, you know, only 4% of businesses ever reach $1 million in revenue. 96% will never get there. I've done that three times, and so I'm very proud of that fact. But I got to tell you, I think the thing I'm probably most proud of was re-engineering my business life in the 90s and early 2000s so I can be doing the work that I'm doing today. And the reason why I say that, Antonio, is when I decided I wanted to have the business I have today, this business didn't exist. Like, the job just didn't exist. I mean, there were coaches and there were coaching practices, but to have the business the way, you know, a coaching business and a consulting business is set up today just flat out didn't exist at the time. And when I told everybody, I want to get out of construction and go into coaching, and the main question I got was, what sport are you going to coach?
right. Right.
No, it's not a sport. Let me explain. It's, you know, I'm going to work with you. I'm going to be like your personal trainer for your goals. And they would look at me like, huh?
Yes, after they would fall on the ground laughing, and you'd have to help them back up. Yeah.
Right. You're absolutely right. I can't tell you, when I first started, I used to do a lot of trade shows, and people would come up and say, coaching, like, explain. And I would explain, and I would have a percentage of people just stand there and laugh. And I'd be like, no, I'm serious. This is like an actual job. They're like, they're laughing, like, you're screwing with me, right? I said, no, it's an actual job. It's, people actually do this. You know, it's obviously come a long way since then, but you're absolutely right. I got laughed at a lot.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of people really don't realize that we all need coaching. The coach needs a coach. You know, it's all a matter of personal human growth, you know, to get to our own personal success. And that takes help. Nobody can do everything alone.
There's no doubt. And the more, you know, we're seeing that more and more with roundtable groups opening up and mastermind circles and, you know, other like-minded chat and support groups, you know, Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups, Yahoo groups. I mean, people are finding out more and more that having that support system, being around like-minded people, sharing best practices, you know, holding yourself accountable to others is, you know, I say that coaching is a time machine. And what I mean by that is by working with somebody or being around others where you get that support, you shorten the learning curve. So what would have taken you 5 years to go through in trial and error, you could bypass all that. And you could take somebody else's 5 years of trial and error and you could just get, you could get straight to what worked, and you've like propelled yourself 5 years into the future overnight, you know? So much different way of thinking now than there used to be. It used to be like coaching was, there was something wrong. Now it's like, no, a coach should be part of my team. That just like I have other advisors, I should absolutely have a coach. So I agree with you totally.
Absolutely. Hang tight, successors. We'll return to our conversation with Carl Gould as well as Quick Success after a word from our sponsors. Podcasters, want more listeners? Check out promosharecast.com and join the community today. That's promosharecast.com. Join today and get the first month free, and you'll also receive 50% off for a lifetime membership. Sign up today. PromoShareCast.com. Are you a tense, tired, busy person who works day in and day out, who tends to lack the proper sleep and energy? Using modular supplements, health-related articles, recipes, life hacks, and more, Bellison can help. With quality as high as Bellison, you're buying from a company that cares about the environment and only uses premium vegan supplements. That's Bellison.com. Want to learn how to cook healthy, exercise, and meditate in just 30 minutes a day? Bellison.com. Want to feel healthy, energetic, and focused like me? Bellison.com. To receive a 10% discount at checkout, visit Bellison.com with the coupon code THE4POS. Visit Bellison.com now. That's BELISAN.com. Compassion and quality without compromise. Bellison.com. And we're back with author and entrepreneur Carl Gould. Now we get into the part of the show I like to call Quick Success, where you, Carl, can inspire the successors to enhance their lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Carl, what are you currently doing to enhance your knowledge?
So I've become a bit of a Kindle fanatic, and as soon as I hear about a book, I download it, and I've gotten pretty good at reading very quickly. But I also have joined Entrepreneurs Organization, EO, as it's called, and I'm in a circle with other like-minded business owners where we meet once a month to share best practices.
Yeah, I just joined a mastermind myself. I'm loving it already.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It's great. What are you currently doing to enhance your health?
Well, in 1991, I became a vegan. And so I've been vegan, animal product free since 1991. And recently, though, I went gluten free. And that's made a really big difference. And I've gone to, here's my formula. At least one smoothie a day, one small meal, one regular meal. So I found that that little balance has worked. So those are the things I've been doing to enhance my health recently.
Sounds great. I'm vegan too, 8 years so far.
All right, right on.
Yeah. What are you currently doing to enhance your wealth?
So I do the balance sheet building. So I set aside a certain amount of money every month, but I've done something, it's a little known strategy called DRIPS. And a DRIP is a dividend reinvestment program. And what that means is most big companies can sell stock directly to a person. And it's like you call them up and you say, I want to do a DRIP. And you just say, take $100 a month and buy however many stock you can each and every month. And so it's like a saving plan with interest. And so what I've recently been doing is signing up for a number of DRIPS with large companies. So, you know, You pick the one you want, IBM, Disney's, you know, Microsoft, Apple, whatever, and you could buy it directly from them. And I'm building my wealth that way.
What are you currently doing to enhance your spirituality?
Spirituality, spending more time with friends and family. So I'm taking more time that way. And especially when I travel, I'm going out of my way to spend time to actually take in and enjoy the local flavor, the local nature of wherever I'm at. And I'm enjoying it in a way that I just haven't enjoyed it before. And I'm actually slowing down a little bit in order to do some hybrid versions of yoga and Pilates, so I can, you know, my form of meditation, so I can advance myself that way.
Are there any modern technologies or apps that help you achieve success?
I use something called the Paziz, which is a meditation, a guided meditation app you can use. It used to be a device, now it's an app. I use my Galaxy Note, I use the journal feature, the journal app, so I can journal electronically and come back. So it's not, I know a lot of people have note-taking ones, but I have found going electronic and having that availability, you know, everywhere I'm at in real time, either on my phone or on my tablet, has been great for me.
Yeah, technology is wonderful. I do the same thing. What new thing, book, activity, technology, or skill are you really excited to learn and dive into?
Mergers and acquisitions. The next thing for me is I've done them, I've advised around them, and but it hasn't been the core of our business. But I want to learn mergers and acquisitions and some of the finer points. I want to right now I'm probably a beginner. I want to get my black belt, if you will. So that's the next area of growth for me.
As far as helping our listeners achieve success in whatever it is they're doing, what piece of advice could you give them?
Well, I would go back to what I said before, is that there's so little competition for number one. So you define your niche, and then you what I would do is, first thing I would do is define your niche and find out who would buy from you, who's your ideal buyer, and then find out what they are passionate about what you do. And your buyer will pay more for the intangibles and the relationship with you than they will the utility of your product or service. So Starbucks figured out how to charge you $3 for the experience and $1 for the coffee to get to a $4 cup. So, you know, your clientele will pay more than you think for your product and service if you really tap into what is passionate. So take the top five complaints about your industry, make a list, and then promise your customer base that will never happen to them if they come over to you and work and be your customer. You will be able to charge premium for that right from the get-go.
Yes, value. You're bringing the value. This is great. I love it. And Successors, Carl has a special exclusive offer for you. Carl, what is that?
So go to either carlgould.com or go to 7stageadvisors.com, number 7, STAGE, advisors with an ORS.com, either one. And on the contact page, just send me a contact and tell me you want the free business analysis. Free business analysis. And our team, this is how we give back, Antonio. We will spend up to 2 hours with you. We're going to walk you through a 4-page process, and it's going to end up with you walking away with 5 growth opportunities for your business. And you're going to work with a top-level business strategist to ensure that you walk out with a plan for your business. So that's our give back, so please take us up on it.
All right, you heard that, Successors. Go to carlgould.com on the contact page and let them know you want the free business analysis. Carl, how can our listeners connect with you?
So I love it if our paths would cross. Again, go to carlgould.com or carl@carlgould.com. That's my email, website, and Twitter handle all the same. So carlgould.com website, @CarlGould is my Twitter handle, and Carl@CarlGould is my email address. Whatever works for you, contact me, and we'll figure out a way that we can help each other out in our lives and in our businesses.
Finally, Carl, what's your definition of success?
My definition of success is really whatever puts a little bit of extra energy in your step and also helps out those that are around you. So most people don't have a definition for success, so you need to define it, whatever it means for you, and passionately and absolutely relentlessly pursue it. So if you're on that relentless pursuit of what is meaningful to you, I would call that a successful endeavor.
Successors, I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Carl Gould. Please check out more successful free content like this at the4pos.com, as well as rate and review, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Thanks for listening and prepare for success. Thanks, Carl.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. This was a blast. Appreciate it.
If you want to do more, earn more, be more, and stay more motivated, visit Amazon.com right now for a copy of Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. Get it now at Amazon.com.